our next regular meeting, right? Okay. Any discussion on that motion? Any objection to that motion? Okay, seeing none, then the amendment passes. Okay, go ahead, Madam Clerk.
Ordinance 22053, an ordinance approving a land exchange between the borough and John B. Dastow Trust B for the purpose of acquisition of West Papoose Twins Road right-of-way and land lying north and adjacent to that portion of the road located within Dastow Trust B land, and authorizing the manager to execute all necessary documents to implement the land exchange. If you're on the phone and would like to speak to this, press star 3.
Okay, and I believe we do have a staff report, right? Mr. Manager?
We do, Madam Mayor, and I want to say thanks to Nancy Cameron for coming back. She retired, but this public hearing and the next one were two things that she was wrapping up. So, Lisa, it'll be yours, but I appreciate Nancy coming in to provide that context for us, and even though you're retired.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Lisa Gray, and I'm the new land management agent, and I replaced Nancy, but I'm actually going to defer to her on this case. She just retired 2 weeks ago, and so she's had a lot to do with this case and can explain it and talk about it better than I could.
Okay.
It's down to my level. Well, thank you for the opportunity. I have been happily retired for 2 weeks. but I do want to just start the conversation with saying thank you to the Assembly and to administration and to the mayor for the opportunities that I have had over the last 17 years. It's always been an honor to present in front of you, and I do so with great respect for the positions that you hold. So with that being said, thank you. And let's talk about a land exchange. So this all started out of the need for legal public dedication across West Papoose Twins Road. It's an old Alaska Division of Lands road that was constructed in several segments in 67 and then again in the early 80s, was never legally dedicated, and it followed the path of least resistance, as many roads do in Alaska. You avert the big hills, you avert the wetlands and things like that. What happened is that it did crisscross over private property in many, many areas. And so the Department of Public Works over the last several years has been working diligently to acquire legal easement over this road so that, one, we can assure the public will always have that legal access through this road, and two, so that the borough will have the legal authority to go in and improve it and maintain it as they have been. So that's kind of what brought us to this point. The right-of-way acquisition person, Sheila Armstrong, started negotiations and talks with the trustee, Butch Moore. He's the trustee for Dastow Trust B. And they came to a conclusion, at what point, I'm not sure, because land management had not come in at that point. But they came to a conclusion that perhaps a better alternative would be a land exchange, which is something that is a good alternative that the borough would use when needed or when it made sense. The trustee brought to the borough this property that the borough has owned since 1971. That is the what we call GLOW lot or government lot 19. That is part of this exchange process. The need that the borough has is across two government lots owned by Dastow Trust, and so what they're looking at is just the easement area where Papoose Twins Road, on the south side of it, more or less, to the north of the property line. What that would allow in having that additional land to the north of Papoose Twins Road would allow for road improvements, ditching, sloping, things that aren't there now. If any of you have traveled on this road, it's not a great road, certainly not in the winter. And so this would provide for not only legal ingress and egress, a legal definition and dedication of it, but it would also allow for the continued use of the public unobstructed. The property that the borough received from the state of Alaska in 1971 was part of an exchange that the state owned the property, and they needed some property in Red Shirt Lake area. And so the borough and the state engaged in an exchange process, and the intent of the state at the time was to sell all the land, including that borough property and all the land south and Burnt Point, to the general public. And so we did this land exchange, and the intent and the idea was to retain it for potential future public use. However, this was in 1969 when this discussion happened. This was before there was much development on Big Lake at all. And since then, we have boat marinas, we have boat launches, all publicly used. We have campgrounds, we have access. We have a lot of amenities on Big Lake that weren't there in 69. And so the idea of trying to develop this rather inaccessible property, because there is no legal overland access to this borough property, never has been. So the only way that the borough could develop it would be to do it by water in the summer or to do it by the ice roads in the winter. Many of the properties and those on Burnt Point have that access. It is by water. That's how it was sold to them. There was never any overland access for them. There has been use of overland access, but it's not legally dedicated access. So what the borough looked at in this exchange was, what's the fair market value? So fair market value can be determined in several ways. It can be determined by third-party appraisal. It can be determined by broker's opinion of value. Or it can be determined by code as from the certified tax roll. And that is the way that we chose to value the property, because that is historically how we typically value properties. When we sell them in land sales, we use the certified tax roll. The only time that we typically do a third-party appraisal is when we're acquiring for like a fire station or a library or something like that. We will get an appraisal to make sure that the borough is paying a fair market amount. We did not do that in this case because the fair market value was applied to both the easement area value of the remaining land that Dastal Trust owned, and also to the borough property. So what we came up with was the borough property was $303,000 plus or minus. The Dastal Trust property, to make it a fair value exchange, the easement area was $24,000 some odd dollars. And so the difference would be paid and compensated to the borough of that difference of $277,800 some dollars. So now we've got an even exchange of value. It's not about acreage, it's about value. We have had some public comments that have been kind of centered around several key issues. A lot of the folks out there have used this property, both the private property owned to the north and the borough property, to access their parcels on Burnt Point, overland access. And it's understandable because we know certain times of the year that you can't get to your properties, right? Because it's too thin of ice, or it hasn't frozen over enough, or whatever. However, again, I just want to reiterate that the properties on Burnt Point were legally conveyed with water access, as many of them are on Big Lake. There was also some fish habitat concerns, and I'm not sure if the folks that brought this to the forefront as far as environmental concerns just didn't quite understand the language that was in the public notice, because in our easement documents, we always include cuts and slopes for fills, ingress and egress, snow storage and maintenance, and it's very generic language that we include, so that's what that easement can do. It doesn't mean that this is going to be a major snow storage area. It doesn't mean that that runoff from snow is going to affect the salmon stream to the west, coming from Crooked Lake and on into the Susitna. The road is improved. Of course, the borough is required to obtain all permits, federal, state, and local. And if they need to submit SWEP plans and mitigation efforts, that is always done. It is never a question that that is done. And then the public safety issue, the public sale issue. There were some folks that said, well, why didn't we put it up for a competitive bid so everybody could bid on it? We could have. But again, there's no access to it.
And if we were to competitively sell this property, we would put it at the tax assessed value. We could have gotten some more money for it. But does that really solve the problem of access? It wouldn't, because there's still no access from the legally dedicated roads to the north, from Bellardi or Asbury Court. Access is still by water, so it really doesn't fix that problem by selling it to the open market. If that property were to be developed, which is another question that came up, we don't know what the development is. That is not a question that land management asks when we convey property. If the developer, if the buyer, whether it's the trustee or whether it's you or whoever, if they decide to subdivide that property, there are legal proceedings that they have to go through our platting process. That is another opportunity for public hearing, and it has a lot of oversight for that. If roads were to be put in, that's a requirement for the platting process. It's controlled by that. So we feel like there is measures already in place for that situation. I think the only other thing that I really would like to address before you have questions is that we did look at other alternatives. We looked at, could we build a new road completely in the 50-foot section line easement that goes through the north part of the trust property? Well, you can build anything anywhere, right, with enough money? But it goes through a wet area, a wetlands area. We did a guesstimate, we being our construction folks, and they came to a really low amount of $750,000 or $745,000, but that doesn't include design, that doesn't include planning, that doesn't include a lot of things. That was just a number that we threw out there to say it's going to be at least this amount of money to build an entirely new road. And so the other option that we looked at was, do we assert prescriptive rights? The borough has been using this road, West Papoose Twins, for many years. We've been maintaining it since 2000. But in order to do that, condemnation, eminent domain, we would have to get the approval of the assembly and we would have to get the approval of the court to do that. Does that make sense to do that when we have an exchange, a fair value, that we have a meeting of the minds? The other option is to do absolutely nothing. Let it be. Let the road be there. Let's keep it unsafe. Let's worry about it in the future. That didn't seem like a good solution either. So that's where we came to this point of negotiation. You have a copy of the contract, that the memorandum of agreement that was signed between the trustee and borough administration. In the very first line of that in conditions is that it has to be approved by the assembly before it can move forward. But you see what we talked about. You see what we negotiated. This wasn't taken lightly, and it wasn't done overnight. This was weeks and, in fact, months of discussion on what's in the best interest of the borough. The final thing is that we did provide public notice. It is in your packet. We did provide it in accordance with code 2305025. And comments that came in after the public notice ended were forwarded to you as well. So you have received every public comment that we have received. I will be happy to take questions.
Yes, Assemblyperson McKee.
I was reading the letters, I guess, by somebody named Mobile and somebody named Cottrell, and some of the questions that they asked, I'm hoping that you'll be able to answer. The property's on Papoose Road, across from a small lake that feeds into Crooked Lake and has an outlet that drains to the Little Sioux River, to the Big Sioux. And then they're saying, if you use this for snow dump or drainage as proposed, it'll pollute the lake. They said there's a road that runs parallel to Papoose. It has thousands of acres of unoccupied land and already has gravel pits on or adjacent to it. This was a road that was supposed to go to the river, but just dead ends. This is where you should look for snow dumps and drainage. That was from Jim Mobile. And then Denise Cottrell says, was the EPA consulted? How do you propose to keep contaminants out of the watershed? Who will monitor it and how often? Why can't the borough use any of the land on the Susitna Parkway that is only partially finished? And again, mentions the part that you were talking about, a vital salmon stream and trout fishing habitat that drains into a creek that feeds into the Little Sioux. So those seemed like really legit environmental concerns. Does it hold any water, so to speak?
Through the mayor to Assembly Person McKee. So there was, I think, some misconception as to what it is when we're acquiring this easement. It's not going to be used for a snow dump.
It could be, but it's not going to be.
Well, it couldn't be because they would have to clear the entirety of it, and there's just not enough room for where the road is and the remaining area to the northern boundary of that property to create a huge snow dump. But again, if you're pushing snow, if you're plowing, it's going to go off the sides of the road, right? That's what an easement is for. A snow dump is something completely different. This is not what this is about. So as far as having a negative impact on fisheries downstream, I feel that that is not a concern. I think that, like I said, when the road is improved, that all measures will be taken into account by the borough, both legally and morally, to assure that there's not contamination. We follow the letter of the law. That's how it is. That's what we do. As far as the talk about using Susitna Parkway, I am not, that's not my wheelhouse to address. I don't know if anybody would like to address that, but this is a road that's already in place. Mm-hmm. This provides access to the people to the west, the people to the east, and to divert it all the way around may not be in the best interest of the borough, but I am just making an opinion on that.
Thanks.
Further questions? Okay. Thank you very much. I'm sorry. Do you have another one? Follow up?
The part about EPA being involved in this, have they been?
Through the mayor to the assembly person McKee, no. There's no reason for EPA to be involved at this point at all. There is no environmental protection issue happening. This is simply an acquisition of an easement so that we can make it a legally dedicated road. If the EPA needed to be involved, that's down the road, no pun intended, when construction happens and design.
And I guess one of the questions that did intrigue me was that part where they were talking about, what about those other thousands of acres of unoccupied land that's already has gravel pits on or adjacent to it? That seems to me...
That land may or may not be owned by the borough. And so we would still have to go through an acquisition, whether it's state land or private land. Mm-hmm. We would still have to acquire that land. That adds money onto the cost of the road.
Okay.
Thanks. Okay. Another question? Thank you, and thank you for coming back.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Nancy, can you leave the mic on, please?
Thank you. I'm going to go ahead and open up the public hearing on Ordinance 22-053. And we do have one person that has signed up, and that's Guy Lopez.
I think a Assembly Member Bernier might have joined us.
Oh, okay.
Good evening. My name is Guy Lopez. I live on Lot D3 Township, which is right adjacent to this property or right next to it. Thank you for the opportunity to speak. I learned a lot from Ms. Cameron regarding the Papoose Twins road right-of-way. I certainly have no knowledge about that, and neither I nor my neighbors have any objections to anything related to that. However, I do speak against the land swap as proposed. I have talked to several neighbors. They are all opposed to it. In my opinion, it is against the public interest. It is severely undervalued, as Ms. Cameron said. It was valued based on code, but any familiarity with Big Lake you will see that properties for much less go for tremendous amounts of money. I have 4 acres right next to this property. The tax notice for last year put it at $161,700. I have just under 4 acres. This is over 15 acres. I know she addressed it's not about the size of the land. This is a nice piece of property. It has some wetlands, but it has a lot of very usable property. It is worth far more. If the borough wanted to benefit financially from this, then putting it up for some sort of bid or public sale would probably net at least 4 times the value that you're looking at getting right now. But on a more moral or ethical level, exchanging this land so that it sounds like this Papoose Twins Road right away is a rather lightly used road at best from the description, and I may be wrong there. This cuts off access to several properties, probably about 10 neighbors in the area, for pretty much 4 months of the year. It is basically a taking of our properties without any just compensation. So I think there's some legal problems there in addition to just the moral and ethical issue of exchanging this land that will essentially cut a lot of us off from using our land year round. I know the borough has many other properties. I don't know why there weren't other properties that couldn't have been offered to the Dastow Trust. This property that is involved in the land exchange is right next to 9 acres owned by Mr. Moore, who is the trustee. There is a huge benefit to him at the cost to the rest of us. Another issue that I think needs addressing is there was insufficient notice regarding this land swap. I mean, I learned a lot from Ms. Cameron, but in the public notice, there's very little information. Most of it isn't of any real practical value in understanding the background negotiations that led to this land swap. May I have 1 more minute?
Sure.
And I'll be very quick.
Okay.
For many of us, we've effectively had a prescriptive easement, in my case, for over 20 years. I know my neighbor, Mr. Sops, he's been there over 40 years. But several people have used that easement, that prescriptive easement, openly. There's never been any objections or no trespass signs or anything to stop. Also, regarding the insufficient notice, nothing has gone out to all the people who use ATVs and snow machines on that property, you know, at the appropriate times of year. I don't know if many of you have been beneficiaries of donations from the Dastow Trust or anyone associated with Mr. Moore or Mr. Moore. It appears to be improper dealings here. It's such a beneficial deal for the Dastow Land Trust at a very severe cost to about 10 different homeowners that live in that area. I would suggest or recommend, as just an ordinary citizen, that this be tabled while the attorneys for the borough look at some of the legal implications. Or if this land swap isn't going to go through, then the prescriptive easement should be recognized so the rest of us don't have our properties unavailable to us for 4 months of the year. Thank you very much for the opportunity to speak to you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Anyone else in the audience that would like to give testimony on Ordinance 22-053? Seeing no one? Okay. We do have some people online. Go ahead. Yes, we can hear you. Go ahead.
My name is James Christie. My family has owned property in Big Lake since 1966. I am urging the assembly to reject this land proposal. I echo many of the concerns of the earlier commenter about the inequity of this for the borough. In order for a land exchange to meet and satisfy borough code, the properties that are exchanged have to be properties of equal value. And these very plainly are not properties of equal value. There's a just right off the bat, talking is a huge financial discrepancy between the property values. So what we're really talking about is allowing a parcel of land that was originally acquired by the borough for the sole and limited purpose of future public use. We're now allowing a citizen developer to acquire that land directly from the borough. And this is property that's never before been made available for sale to any citizen of the borough or anywhere else. And the valuation that's being used, the tax assessed value, I agree, is completely an unjustifiably low amount. The property would get a much higher value on the open market. And we can't know for sure exactly how much that would be, but it sounds like this Cameron acknowledged that the borough could get more for it on the open market. And I take some issue with the idea that the value of that parcel is substantially diminished because it doesn't have road access. My family's property has never had road access. We continue to use our property year-round, summer, winter. We enjoy it. We actually like that there's no road access, but it's a little bit difficult to get to. You can't just pull your car up. So I don't think the fact that there's not presently road value there really diminishes the value substantially enough to justify this exchange. I think there's a couple other issues with the valuation that the borough proposes using. First off, a third party appraisal is the only way to go to figure out what the actual valuation is. The other problem is that the easement that the borough is proposing over the Datsu Trust Land is not something that the Datsu Trust Land has for sale. The borough very clearly already has a lawful prescriptive easement over the entire Papoose Twins roadway that runs across the Datsu Trust Land. It has been continuously maintained by the borough for 20 years. That's far in excess of the 10-year requirement under Alaska Supreme Court case law for prescriptive easement. The use of that roadway has been continuous and uninterrupted for at least 30 years, and the use was completely visible to the owner of the Datsu Trust. In fact, it was present when the Datsu owner bought that property. And now the Datsu Trust owner is attempting to effectively monetize a defect in the property he purchased by getting what appears to be a sweetheart land exchange for a parcel of land that, again, dedicated for public use, never made available to the public. The borough does not need to exchange land here because it already owns the roadway. I think Ms. Cameron suggested this is somehow would be some sort of legal battle. This is not. This is black letter Alaska law. It has been for over 30 years. I'm sure that the borough's attorneys and legal can correct it. Why would be state 860p 2nd 1205? That's from 1993.
Sir, can I have you wrap it up, please?
Yes, Madam Mayor. Of course, thank you for your indulgence. The bottom line is that this is an unnecessary, unfair, unwise transaction that benefits one person and elevates their interests over the borough itself and all the borough residents. Thank you for your time.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. We have another person online. Go ahead.
Yes, I'm Jane Tractor, a property owner close to the proposed land exchange. Thanks for the opportunity for my comments. I think the public comment duration was not long enough, considering all the Big Lake property owners that this has impacted. They've only notified people within 600 feet, and a lot more are impacted. And also, the IM 22096 states that all the public comments to measure the deadline would be part of that package. But I looked at that package online, and only three of the public comments were included. So I'm not sure if it hasn't given the public a chance to review the public comments and make comments or speak at this meeting with those public comments as part of them. It'd be nice if they were able to repackage that IM 2269 or 96 with all the public comments and get it reposted. Other landowners and I opposed the MSB land swap on Big Lake. The developer will build a road to it, for any future development, subject only to the limited MSD restrictions for development. The land exchange mostly benefits the land developer involved in the exchange. He is being paid about $24,000 for land to expand existing easement across his property and trade for the exclusive sole source right to buy 15.31 acres of irreplaceable Big Lake property with about 1,500 feet of lake frontage at the MSD tax appraisal value. Included in this uneven deal is the reclassification of Big Lake land. It is currently classified as public recreation land, and that classification will remove to allow unlimited development within the MSD code. Item 22096 notes that this reclassification is because the land would be too costly to develop by the MSD, but 25.05.100D12 land classification also defines public recreational land as, quote, potentially valuable to the public as natural or developed recreation. It doesn't necessarily have to be developed, it's still public recreational land. I support the Papoose Road upgrades and development in the Mattoon Borough, but it should not come at the expense of the loss of Big Lake public recreational land. It's my belief that the exchange is not in the best interest of the Big Lake and Papoose Twin broker movement or the long-term development of the Mattoon Borough. The MSP plan to upgrade the Papoose Road should be more, could be more expensive than the available options. Please consider rerouting the start of the road to the existing West Tusitna Parkway and turning north along the railroad back to the Papoose Road as one alternate option. This alternate option would be straighter, safer, easier to maintain, would provide long-term financial savings over the upgrading of the first section of the Papoose Road. Rerouting the Cocos Road improvements to the West Tusitna Parkway makes sense. The land is high, dry, and will be a useful source of gravel for the remaining of the road improvement project. The Papoose Road land exchanges use future road improvements for the first few areas will be required to purchase more land across wetlands, across two creeks, through bad soils, and will have areas that the road will remain very curvy due to wet area restrictions. This will add considerable cost to future improvements of the road compared to the existing available options and will restrict options to develop safe, modern, and affordable roadways.
So can I have you wrap it up, please? Can your time is up.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I encourage the MSP Assembly to vote no on this land exchange. 15.31 acres of irreplaceable public recreational land on Big Lake should not be exchanged for expanding an easement that can be acquired in other ways and will not be needed if the Papoose Twins Road is rerouted. At a minimum, this exchange should be delayed to finish the entire road design.
Can I have you wrap it up, sir, please?
The long-term building and maintenance of Papoose Road. Thank you very much for allowing me to speak.
Okay. Caleb, anybody else online? No. Okay, so I'll bring it back to the audience here. Anyone else would like to testify on this ordinance?
Is there any I can testify again?
No. Okay, seeing no one, I'll go ahead and close the public hearing. And assembly person two.
Yeah, I move to adopt ordinance 22-035 or 53.
Okay, is there discussion? Yes, Deputy Mayor?
So through the mayor to the manager, perhaps to Nancy Cameron. I'm in my packet it says unnamed lake. Is that Lake Big Lake or is that some other lake? Just some unnamed lake.
Through the mayor to assembly person Sumner, it is not Big Lake. It is just a small unnamed lake on the Dastile Trust B property, partially.
And sorry, and this, the lot that we're proposing to, I get a lot of feedback. The lot we're proposing to sell, it has no road access at present.
Again, through the mayor, that is correct. It has no upland road
access.
Okay. Yeah. Well, so in my eyes, I think that the person we're selling the land to in this, or the person that's paying us money in part for this land exchange is getting a bad deal, and the borough's getting a good deal, because I don't think this is worth that much. But it's my personal opinion of the valuation of land that is on a small unnamed lake and has no road access, probably no utilities.
I'm sorry, Madam Mayor, there's a little confusion. So the borough parcel has no road access. The Dastow Trust parcels is where the unnamed lake is, and that has the access for Papoose Twins, just for clarification.
So is the borough parcel on a lake?
Yes, it has lake frontage on both sides, on the east and the west, on Big Lake itself. Yes.
All right.
Yes. So if you look at your map, your vicinity map, you can see, it should be right behind your fiscal note. You can see the Big Lake, or the borough parcel. And then there's an inset that kind of, it shows you where the parcels are, and then the inset shows you where the borough parcel is, the larger piece, the 15.31 acres, and then the Dastow Trust B parcels. Do you see those?
Yeah, I think I had them backwards, actually, on here.
So, in looking at this, this is the Dastow Trust property, right here, on the bottom. This is the borough property here, up on the right-hand, upper right-hand. So this is borough. This is Big Lake on either side. Dastow Trust property here, West Papoose going through. This is the unnamed lake off to, on the east side of that Dastow Trust property. Okay.
Through the mayor, could I get the attorney's opinion on the easement, of which multiple people, it sounds like, in the area have been traveling for an extended period of time?
In the state of Alaska, the difference between adverse possession and prescriptive easements is a question of use versus possession. So if you use somebody else's land for a period of time, you could get an easement against it. If you possess someone else's land for a period of time, you get title, adverse possession. So they're related to each other. The difference is in the character of the title. The Supreme Court of the state of Alaska has ruled that's not against government property. You cannot obtain a prescriptive easement against the Matanuskas who sit in a borough for using land owned by the borough.
Well, I suppose that doesn't quite answer the question of a prescriptive easement on the Dastow Trust land for the road that might already exist. But I suppose the question would be that could we make improvements because the prescriptive easement wouldn't extend beyond the current road surface? Is that the issue?
I believe that was addressed in the staff report. The issue is that the road gets soupy and muddy and wet because it has no drainage, bad slopes, no shoulders. And so, yes, we could assert rights for a prescriptive easement to what has been used. But in order to do improvements, as I understand it, we need more than that because there's a big hill that needs drainage, it needs slopes. So more than that would be required to actually improve the road, and that's the issue.
You spoke of a third party appraising this property. How high a hurdle is that?
Through the mayor, through the assemblyperson McKee, it's not a hurdle. It's just another step, another cost to do that. Our code allows us to determine fair market value as the borough tax, certified tax roll, which is what we typically do use. But an appraisal can be done.
We would have to do an appraisal on all three properties mm-hmm. in order for that to happen. So it's not just one appraisal, it's three appraisals at that point. And then we would have to dissect out and determine the easement value in the appraisal as well. So it's not a simple appraisal that I go to the bank and say we just need to know the value of the land. It's more extensive than that, but it can be done, absolutely.
Do you have any idea what the cost of that would be?
I would hate to guess, but I would think that it could be maybe $10,000 to $15,000 potentially, just from my experience on other appraisals on vacant land for just one appraisal, minimum $5,000 or higher.
Okay. Thank you.
Sorry. Further discussion? Yes, Assemblyperson Tu, go ahead.
Can we maybe hear from Terry Dolan about what kind of work needs to happen on Twin Papoose and what that means to the community back there?
Is there any objection from the Assembly regarding calling additional staff? No. Okay. Sir, please come. Thank you.
Terry Dolan, Director of Public Works. Through the mayor, the attorney was exactly right in what he said about the need for additional land in order to make Papoose Twins a year-round access for the residents that live back there. If we obtained a prescriptive easement, it would limit us to essentially the driving surface of the road. And as you know, roadways with the drainage facilities attached to them are typically at least 20 feet wider than that. There would be no space for any kind of drainage facility. The borough attorney also mentioned a hill. There's a very, very steep hill that would need to be cut down to make it safe in the wintertime. The slopes involved in that would need space. So there's all kinds of upgrades that would need to be done that we would not have space for. So we really can't turn this road into a reasonably useful road that has access 12 months out of the year without the additional space, and we can't get that through a prescriptive easement.
Yes, Assemblyperson Yacht, go ahead.
There's obviously been a lot of due diligence done by the staff on this. I got just a couple of questions. I think a lot of homework's been done. It's too bad that I can understand actually why they only sent it out to people than 600 feet, but now that I understand better that you can't have an easement on borough land, I feel more comfortable with that. But I guess my question is, you know, how much other borough land is in the area to this that people could still have access to for recreation? Right, and I have driven down this road one time, and it was not a great experience. It was not in the winter, which was good, but I could see how miserable it would be for people to get down there during breakup and everything. I went to look at it because it was a pretty hot topic item recently, and I just wanted to see it for my own two eyes. But I'm sympathized to anybody that lives down that road. I can tell you that there's no ditches, and it's not an easy one to drive, so I could see it being a problem. I would like to see the borough upgrade the road. That would be amazing. But again, I guess my question is there any other chunks of borough land in the area that people can recreate on? Are we taking away everyone's ability to still enjoy the great outdoors out there? I don't know who can answer that or who knows that area very well.
I could take a stab at it.
Yes, go ahead. Assemblyperson Tu.
The property that the borough is trying to trade is not being used by the public at all. It's just a raw piece of land. That is what's being traded off. And then the other piece of land, which is Twin Papoose, those are people that live back there, and that's their main road to get back and forth to their home. And that is a very substandard road, and the only way to upgrade it is to actually own the land. And if we own the land, then we can upgrade the land. So what it looks like to me is a total benefit to the people that go back on Twin Papoose, and then also will open up all of Twin Papoose because more people will buy land and hopefully populate that area because now it's easier access. And like I said, the other piece of land is just it's landlocked already. So like it was explained by Nancy, that you can only get there in the wintertime legally by ice, or by in the summertime by a boat. So I think it's a win for everybody, and I hope everybody supports it. Did I answer it? Yeah?
That helped. Thank you.
Assemblyperson Hale, go ahead.
So this public use easement that you would be purchasing from the current owner, would that extend through the property that we are considering selling them and continue along up northward to, if there was like an extension to Twin Papoose or anything, would there also be easement going up, extending beyond the borders of the current property that they own onto the property they're purchasing?
Through the mayor to Assemblyperson Hale, trying to figure out what you're asking. So are you talking about West Papoose Twins? Are you talking about that going further to the west?
Whichever direction that the road currently runs, mm-hmm. Would it extend, would the public use easement that we're purchasing extend onto the property that we're trading for it?
No,
it's not. They're not. Those are not. They're not. They're not interconnected at all. Okay.
We're buying just the easement. Right. We're buying the whole acreage, so that easement happens to be going through that. Right. Okay.
Further discussion. Is there any objection? Okay, we have objection. So, Madam Clerk.
If I can get the members in the room to go ahead and vote. Assemblymember Bernier, are you on the phone?
Yes.
When did you join us? 6:03, thank you. I can't hear you, sir. Okay, if you can go ahead and vote on this ordinance.
Yes.
Thank you. Madam Mayor, it passed with Assemblymember McKee opposed. Ordinance 22054, an ordinance approving a time extension through 2027 of the current land classification on borough-owned land located in Palmer South of the School District Administration Building to allow additional planning by Palmer Little League for a potential indoor baseball facility on said land. If you're on the phone and would like to speak to this, press star 3.
Hi, my name is Lisa Gray. I'm the land management agent. This request is for an extension. The assembly approved an ordinance in 2020 that classified this piece of land owned by the borough for 5 years, allowing time for the Palmer Little League to seek funding for construction of an indoor baseball facility. The Palmer Little League has requested the extension through 2027. The property is located in Palmer, just south of the school district administration building. The extension would allow for more time to develop plans and seek funding. The Palmer Little League has made progress, but due to the pandemic and the unforeseen effects of that, planning efforts are still moving forward. There's been some increased cost, the supply availability, so they're having to revisit some of those things, and so that's the reason for the extension. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Questions to staff? Yes, Assemblyperson Young.
Through the mayor, quick clarification. So it was granted in 2020 and good until 2025. They would like to extend to 2027.
That is
due
correct.
To the delays. Okay, thank you.
Okay, further question? No. Okay. I'm going to go ahead and open up the public hearing on ordinance 22-054. It looks like we have somebody. Hello there. See you on this. It's good to see you on this side of the rural here.
All right, thank you. My name is David Combs. I am the president of Palmer Little League. And yes, we did have, it was tough getting things going and really wanting to get off the ground with this. It was tough because of the pandemic. I mean, for us to try to get money at that situation was not something that we felt was right for us to go after at that point. So we took this time to really dive into our planning of the facility. We recently have been working with Agnew Beck to come up with our business plan. We are in a very good stage as of right now to begin our capital campaign. We have some things going on in the state legislature and at the United States level too, trying to get help us with the funding before we start talking with local businesses and within the state and everything. So yeah, we haven't just been sitting on our thumbs, but we understand that we are probably going to need a little bit more time just to show you that we are serious about having this facility built in the city of Palmer. If there's any questions, I will gladly answer.
Mm-hmm. Assemblyperson Yon.
Yeah, first off, thank you. The Palmer Little League's been around forever. There's no better place in the valley for an indoor baseball facility than Palmer. I mean, this would be absolutely awesome. Do you believe that 2027 is plenty of time? Because if not, I'm not against bringing an amendment to try to extend it. I can't speak for how people are going to, this body would feel in 5 years. Are you confident this is long enough?
As far as what I remember, and when we went through this process to get that, we just needed to show you that we have, things going in the right direction. And if we needed a more extension at that point, we could come and ask for it. But I would gladly take that more of an extension now if we could. That would be amazing because, we're very hopeful and we're optimistic about it happening within that time. But, more time would always be great.
Okay. Thank you.
Right. Yes, Assemblyperson Key.
Do you have any idea at this time what your funding capabilities are, or have you got money in the kitty?
We have gotten a little bit. We haven't even started our real capital campaign to really get, big money, but we have well over $100,000 sitting right now. Granted, the cost for the facility has gone up, just by about 40%, just by what we're, estimating right now. We don't have the hard numbers, but, it's kind of hard to come up with hard numbers right now anyways, but we do believe we'll be able to get there.
So like in today's dollars, what do you think the estimate would be if we were building it tomorrow? What do you think it would cost?
Probably closer to $6.5 million.
Million?
Yeah.
And that's all coming from, that money is all coming from?
There's a number of possibilities for us to get it. This isn't the first time that this kind of facility has been built in the northern states. We do have some other examples, like in North Dakota and Minnesota and all those kind of places. So it's not something new. They got money from MLB. They got money from Little League International. They got money from other professional baseball players. So it's they want to see something like this happen for, kids of all this age. So, and, we're not reinventing the wheel, so it's a good thing.
It's kind of a cool civics lesson to your 600 kids or ever how many.
Since 2011, we had 250 kids in the league, and now we have over 600 for the last 2 years. So yeah. The amount of people that we are touching right now is probably close to 2,000 in a season. So that's just being, just with two people at each game. It's more like three, especially when you get to the T-ballers. You got grandma and grandpa and aunt and uncle and all that kind of stuff watching that cute thing.
Well, good on you. Go for it. I'm sure it'll go well.
We're out for it. We're trying.
Okay. Assemblyperson Yon.
Can you speak to what the ability of this facility would be? So would it be a full indoor field? How expansive are we talking?
Well, our plans are a 160 by 200 size building. I believe the roof would be at 27 feet. I think that's correct. Those are the plans as of right now. It can always, we could go shorter, but we're trying to stay out at that distance so we don't have to have pillars in the middle. But it would have a 90-foot base path. It wouldn't be able to hold a real, you know, full-size baseball game, but it would be able to hold a little league game, the 60-foot base paths. So that means softball, baseball of that age would be definitely be able to have, you know, not a full field, but it'd be pretty close.
And that was my next question is, could like high school softball play in there? Girls softball fields, I believe their base paths are smaller than boys.
Yeah, we haven't really, you know, gotten to that point, but yeah, no, I don't see why. I mean, we'd have to have markings on the wall on some places where, you know, this is what this is and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, we could possibly do that. I know the biggest, a big thing that would be for us is we'd be able to have our T-ballers play in there. And that would free up two other fields that we use during the regular season too. It would kind of alleviate some pressure off of some other fields during the season anyway. So we'd be able to have all of them in an enclosed area that would always happen, you know, development and all that kind of thing would be a big thing.
So my final comments then would be that Alaska is really known for hockey and actually for wrestling, honestly, but it's sports that we can play indoors year round and pretty affordably. Well, I don't want to say affordably. Hockey rinks are really expensive, but like every single community has a hockey rink. And there's a reason we turn out so many good wrestlers and hockey players. It's because we can do it year round indoors, and I would love to see that for baseball. So if I mean, I would like the manager's opinion. Do you think it would be? I'm sorry.
Yeah, we're still in public hearing, so. Alrighty. Thank you. Anyone else that would like to testify to the assembly while we're in public hearing? We're not in assembly discussion yet. Do we have anybody online? No. Okay. So with that, I'll close public hearing and assembly or deputy mayor, would you?
I move to adopt ordinance 22-054.
Okay. Now we'll go to Rob. Are you all questioned out?
No. Just getting warmed up. Would the staff have any objection to me extending this to 2030? Would that bring any negative effect on the Mat-Su Borough in any way, shape, or form?
Either one of you want to make a commitment?
Madam, I'll just say this. I think, you know, there are other facilities in the area that have an interest in expansion. I think an extension to 2030 is reasonable. But to think that somebody won't, I mean, because obviously we're talking about potential expansion of Academy Charter, for example. So, you know, obviously it's a great space, and there are other competing interests. I'll leave it at that.
In which case, I will pull my idea. Thank you.
Okay, further discussion. Yes, Assemblyperson Hale.
Yeah, I just want to wish Palmer Little League the best of luck with this, and hopefully we'll see that facility built here in the next few years.
Further discussion. Yes, Assemblyperson McKee.
Yeah, this is just kind of an attaboy. I am a teacher in middle school, and it used to be, honest to God, a few years ago, not one kid was in baseball. But now, this year, there's probably 10, 15 kids that I know that are my students or have been through the year. So it's picking up. Thank you.
Deputy Mayor?
I suppose I'll support this, even though they kicked me out of Little League when I was a kid. But, yeah, no, look, I think it'd be a really great project. Yeah.
Are you forever damaged? Further discussion. Is there any objection? Seeing no objection, the legislation passes. Okay, the next item Madam Clerk, when you're ready.
Ordinance 22058, an ordinance extending the time limit for completion of expiring projects funds for 1 year. If you're on the phone and would like to speak to this, press star 3.
Okay, do we have a staff report?
Madam Mayor, this one's pretty straightforward, I think. There may be some specific questions around certain projects, but this is an annual renewal that we bring back before the Assembly to get approval to sustain projects that had previously been appropriated.
Okay, I'll go ahead and open the public hearing for Ordinance 22-058. Is there anyone that would like to address the Assembly? Caleb, do we have anybody online? No? Okay, I'll ask one more time. Is there any public testimony? Okay, hearing and seeing none, I'll go ahead and close the public hearing. Deputy Mayor?
I move to adopt Ordinance 22-058. And then I was going to ask through the mayor to the manager, could you maybe go through some of these older projects and could we get a project fund balance and a description of like a couple of these, like the trail survey from fiscal year 14? What is that? And then maybe could you talk to like land for septage facility? Because I mean, I'd feel like striking some of the really old ones here, but if they're absolutely vital, I guess we could keep them.
So through the mayor to Mr. Sumner, I'll make a general comment and then Eric will dive in if I miss something. Generally speaking, we looked at this list of projects. When I first got here, there were projects that, you know, we had a number of older projects. So we recognized the need to dial that in. Generally speaking, the first year we talked about with directors, we don't want to have anything over 10 years. Now we're down trying to neck that down to generally about a 5-year guideline. Now, there are some older projects, as you noted, the trails or survey funding, largely or generally speaking, that's money that was set aside for surveying on state lands, and we need survey instructions from the Department of Natural Resources to proceed. So when Eric Phillips and I talked about that, we're like, do we want to concede that money and that appropriation? Now, the reality is we may need to at some point. But there is some hope that we get those survey instruction and can complete that project. But much like Jonesville, you know, when it comes to DNR, it's largely outside of our control. Now, we also look at the fund balances. So, for example, the land for septage facility, since you specifically mentioned that one, there's actually an available balance of nearly $0. But if you recall, we owe you a septage report, septage feasibility report. So we left that project account. We want to keep the project account open until we've made our way through that, presented our findings to the Assembly, and you've had an opportunity to make a decision on that, because we could potentially put funding in there depending on what the Assembly may choose to do. So I've got a laundry list of the available balances and the justifications for keeping them open. We've reviewed that, but in it, going back to my original comment, really what we're looking to do is try to neck this down, generally speaking, to something that's no older than 5 years old. But in some cases, like with the survey money, if we want to concede it, we concede it, but then if we do get survey instructions or need to move forward with that, we're going to have to find new money to do that.
I suppose I would just ask, so I mean, some of these, like the one from fiscal year 13, I mean, that's 9 years ago. We've been waiting on DNR for 9 years. The other ones, I mean, do we expect that suddenly there'll be movement? When
low probability, or through the mayor to Mr. Sumner, probably a low probability. I can tell you the available balances on the trails construction, repair, and maintenance for 13 is almost 68,000. The trail survey for the 83 miles from FY13 is approximately 57,000. So, you know, I guess some of those we could pull out. Like when you look at trail survey from FY14, there's only $3,000 in that account. So it's not like there's a lot of money laying around. Obviously, you could pull together 110, 120,000 from some of these accounts if we wanted to do that. There's one particular project account for federal STIP match funding. That's about $500,000. We're asking to extend that project. The finance director and I have already talked about that. If it gets extended, we're going to come back and seek or put legislation before the assembly to move that to the road package. So we extend it first, then we're going to pull that $500,000 and request that it be applied to the transportation package. So we've already kind of taken a look at how can we pull some of this project funds, these project funds together and use them in other ways for current priorities.
Yeah, I'm sure Mike will get a good laugh out of this, but every time I see these project accounts, these older ones with money laying around, I start licking my chops and thinking about a road project. But I way more than trust your judgment. So just, I was going to ask that moving forward, kind of keep an eye on them. And if there's any that you think that, you know, if they're going to happen, let's save the money. Let's keep the money there so we don't have to make Cheyenne's life harder later to reopen accounts and so on and so forth. But if we have any that we think are just probably shelved for an extended period of time, then like you said, I'd like to deploy the money. So thank you.
If I may, Madam Mayor, just to be clear, not all this funding is area wide either. So, you know, we got to keep that in mind too, that, you know, some of this funding is fire service area funding, et cetera. So just keep that in mind. It's not like we could just pool all this money and throw it against roads if we wanted to. I mean, I know that sounds wonderful, but we do have a plan for at least $500,000 that we'll bring back to the assembly that could potentially go towards the transportation package.
Okay, further discussion. Is there any, oh yes, Deputy Mayor. Okay, further discussion. Is there any objection to the motion? Okay, seeing and hearing none, the legislation passes. And then Madam Clerk.
Ordinance 22059, an ordinance accepting and appropriating COVID-19 disaster relief funds of $23,037.75 from the Federal Emergency Management Agency with accompanying resolution 22047, a resolution approving the amended budget for the COVID-19 disaster relief funds. If you're on the phone and would like to speak to this, press star 3.
Okay, and I would, there's, I'm Mike, please. Thank you.
It's not on. Through the mayor to the assembly, Cheyenne Hindo, finance director. This is an additional appropriation for EOC labor and PP&E that was incurred during COVID-19. Previously, we have received $301,072. This is a $23,037 to reimburse us for expenses that have already been incurred by the borough.
Oh, thank you. I'm going to go ahead and open the public hearing on Ordinance 22-059 and Resolution 22-047. Is there anyone in the public that would like to testify? Okay. Caleb? No? We don't have anybody online? One last chance. Anybody want to testify? No? I'm going to go ahead and close the public hearing. Deputy Mayor?
I move to adopt Ordinance 22059 and Resolution 22047.
Okay, discussion. Any objection? Okay, hearing no objection, the legislation passes. Go ahead, Madam Clerk.
Ordinance 2260, an ordinance appropriating additional funds for planning department on-call positions with accompanying resolution 22048, a resolution amending the scope of work and budget for project number 47513, planning department on-call positions and extending the date of completion to June 30th, 2025. If you're on the phone and would like to speak to this, press star 3.
Staff report, sir.
Madam Mayor, members of the Assembly, Alex Tron, Planning Director for the Borough. So last summer, we kind of had a little bit of a perfect storm where we had a couple of platting techs that had left. So we had brand new platting techs in there. We have a total of 3. The number of plats that we were receiving was unusually high as well. So we had a very difficult time sort of keeping up with the subdivisions that were coming into the Borough. The Assembly adopted an ordinance which appropriated some funding to hire an on-call platting tech to help sort of relieve the workload that we had. We flew the position with that money in hand and did not receive any applications, and no qualified applicants applied for the job. So we kind of regrouped a little bit. We got through the summer. It was a lot, but we got through it and decided to try a different tactic to relieve the pressure on our staff at in the platting office as well as the permit office, and that was to hire an on-call assistant that could essentially act as a receptionist but also to know a little bit about everything within the between platting and permitting, so they can answer phone calls and help with people at the front counter when they come in, so that our platting techs and our permit techs don't have to get up from their desk and stop what they're doing, you know, whether they're processing plats or permits, and go help the customers, so they're able to focus on their work and provide better customer service in a more timely manner. So this will allow us to do that for a few more years. So far, we've already hired somebody. It's working out great. So that's what this does.
I need to have a big sign right here. I'm going to go ahead and open the public hearing on Ordinance 22-060 and Resolution 22-048. Is there anyone in the audience that would like to testify to the Assembly on either this ordinance or the resolution? Caleb, do we have anybody online? Okay. One last chance for anyone here. Seeing no one, I'm going to go ahead and close the public hearing. Deputy Mayor?
I move to adopt Ordinance 22060 and Resolution 22048.
Okay. Discussion? Assembly discussion? Yes, Assemblyperson Yant.
No, I think this is an awesome idea. I've always kind of wondered why it is that they have to answer their own bell up there, to a sense, right? And I know how hard it is, we all do, when you dig into something really important and then you get distracted for 5 minutes or 15 when, you know, a surveyor or a developer walks in. It sure would be nice to see, yeah, this would be great if somebody could help assist all of them in communications and help them stay focused on their tasks at hand. And then ideally it'd be nice to get to where they pretty much only seen people from the private sector by appointment, where we could, you know, that receptionist or front desk person could help schedule for them. But it is, in my opinion, the arguably the most overworked group in the whole borough. We've seen a lot of platting techs in the past spring for the planning department. It's like grass that's greener on the other side, so maybe help this would help slow it down a little bit, you know, and I think this is a great idea. So.
Further discussion by the Assembly. Is there any objection? Okay, so legislation passes.
Ordinance 22061, an ordinance accepting and appropriating $329,359.58 for the 2018 November Cook Inlet Earthquake Port McKenzie Facilities Repair Project, with accompanying resolution 2250, a resolution amending the budget for project number 55027, 2018 November Cook Inlet Earthquake Port McKenzie Facilities.
Staff report, sir.
Terry Dolan, Director of Public Works. This is accept and appropriate legislation for additional funds from FEMA. When we went out for bids on this project, the bid price came in higher than we expected, and so FEMA provided us additional funds, and that's what we're doing, is accepting those funds and appropriating them to the project.
Okay, question of staff? Okay, seeing none, thank you, sir. I'll go ahead and open the public hearing on Ordinance 22-061 and Resolution 22-050. Is there anyone here in the public that would like to address the Assembly on either one of these? Seeing no one. Caleb? Nothing online. So I'll go ahead and close the public hearing. And Assemblyperson Two.
I move to adopt Ordinance 22-061 and Resolution 22-050.
Okay. Discussion by the Assembly. Okay. Is there any objection? Hearing no objection, the legislation passes.
Ordinance 22062, an ordinance amending MSB 1705, Essential Services Utilities, to exclude the Port McKenzie Special Use District. If you're on the phone and would like to speak to this, press star 3.
Okay. Staff report.
Thank you, Madam Mayor, Manager, the Assembly. My name is Tracy McDaniel. I'm the Asset Manager. The proposed amendment to Title 1705 is to remove an additional layer of public noticing, advertising, and meetings within the Port District boundaries for the development of utilities that are considered the Type 2 essential service utility, which is in code. The lands within the district were set aside, zoned, and planned specifically for commercial and industrial development that require utilities, such as electrical substations, pipelines for gas, oil, water, sewage. Title 1705 within the Port District for utilities, it is excessive, an additional expense, and creates additional time for any proposed development that has already received approval through the Assembly or through administration. And I'm happy to answer any questions.
Questions of staff? No, thank you.
Thank you.
I'll go ahead and open the public hearing on ordinance 22-062.
Hi, my name is Kim Wetzel. Because the comment I wanted to bring to the borough, to the mayor, regards Point McKenzie, I thought I'd jump in line and then just share this information and save you guys the time. So I'm here on behalf of the Army Corps of Engineers, and I wanted to invite the borough staff and the public to a community awareness training. This is tomorrow at 7 o'clock at Fire Station 6-2, which is at Mile 7 KGB Road. This public awareness training is about unexploded ordnance that could be present in about 87,000 acres in Point McKenzie. So for the last 10 years, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers has been investigating the potential presence of unexploded ordnance in the Susitna Gunnery Range. So I mentioned this is an 87,000 acre parcel. It's what's known as a formerly used defense site. So it was determined that unexploded ordnance may be uncovered during ground disturbing activities on this former range. That's why I bring it up now. I missed my opportunity with the prior ordnance. So the purpose of the training, again, is to let folks know that disturbing the surface of the soil and subsurface, you may uncover ordnance and debris. And so our very clear message to anyone that sees something suspicious is you call 911. It's really that simple. So the training that again is tomorrow night, if you can't come in person, the simplest thing to do is go to the website. It's www.susitnagunneryrange.com. There's a short video. It's got a really interesting history of our anti-aircraft missile firing practice that was happening from Fort Rich across Knik Arm into Port McKenzie. It happened back in the late 40s and 50s. Just watch the website, just watch the video on the website if you can't make the in-person meeting. There's also a phone number if you want to just listen to the public meeting. And I'll leave these flyers for any staff or borough members that want to share that, and we'd love to have you tomorrow. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else that would like to address the Assembly? Caleb, do we have anybody online? No. Okay, I'll go ahead and close the public hearing then. And Assemblyperson 2.
I move to adopt ordinance 22-062.
Okay, discussion. Yes, Deputy Mayor.
So I guess I kind of wonder why we have this ordinance at all, because so MEA is involved in this process right now, and I mean they do go out and they solicit extensive public comment, but they subsequently seem to just completely ignore the public comment. So I mean, other than just stirring people up, I don't really see what purpose it really serves. I mean, so I really don't see a reason not to get rid of it at the port, but I wonder why do we even have it if it, essentially it has no teeth, no effect other than to just stir people up.
Everybody's looking at you.
Yeah, I through the mayor to Mr. Sumner. I don't think there was a question there, but everybody did look at me, so we'll just chase this thing out. What's before you tonight, what staff prepared, is specifically to exclude the Port McKenzie Special Use District. I'm not going to speak to the merit of what you suggested in terms of repealing it altogether. We certainly can take a look at that. I would suggest if we were to do that, we'd probably run it back through the Planning Commission and the public process. We did not do that's that wide of a scope for this particular ordinance, but we could certainly take that up if that's the Assembly's desire. What we're saying here is it's redundant, essentially, with the other approvals, and we already have a zoned industrial district with Port District, and this is just added bureaucracy, I guess, and I don't mean that to sound negative. It's just when we look at going through these approvals, the cost and the time that it takes to prepare lease agreements and go through design and engineering and things, I would argue this for the Port District is unnecessary.
Further discussion? Yes, Assemblyperson Hale.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Quick question for the manager. How much of the property in the Port District is privately owned?
Our expert is coming forward.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Mm-hmm. Assemblymember Hale, there's two owners within the Port District. It is the university and the borough. And in the IM there, it talks about there's approximately 10,046 acres, and 830 of those acres are university lands. So,
thank you. That's pretty much what I expected. This is all public land owned for the specific purpose of promoting the port and having an industrial commercial zone over there. So I have no problem with this at all.
Okay, thank you. Further discussion? Yes, Deputy Mayor.
Yeah, so I don't object to this, but I just wonder why we have this ordinance at all, because the only time I've seen it used, it seemed like 90% of the comment was against, or maybe more, was against the route that they are going to go anyhow. So why go out and solicit that much public process when there is no follow through with that public process? So I would like just to look into repealing this thing and completely at some point. Now, I guess that would have to go through the planning department, but yeah.
Further discussion? Yes, Assemblyperson Hale.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. In the case of the electric company, I would say that they are in the wrong and not that the borough code is in the wrong.
Okay, further discussion? Is there any objection to this legislation? Seeing no objection, the legislation passes. Does anybody need to have a break, or should we go ahead and plow through? How are we doing? Plow through. Okay, here we go. The next item on our agenda is audience participation. Anyone is welcome to address the assembly on any item. Doesn't necessarily have to be something that was on the agenda. It can be any item you would like to call their attention to. You'll be given 3 minutes to present your testimony. Audience participation is now open.
a sign-in sheet?
There was, but you're good.
Okay.
Fine.
Hello. Thank you for taking the time. My name is Eric Anderson. I live in Palmer. First, I'd like to tell the council I'm very impressed with the engagement within one another and the dialogue. It's nice to see the council or assembly talking to each other, especially asking each other questions, because and not all councils and assemblies does this happen. And for my first time here with this body this year, I'm impressed on how you guys handle each other. Secondly, I have a concern with tonight there was a city council meeting, a special meeting for in Palmer for applicants for the new appointed positions for city council, and it overlapped the meeting here. And I don't know if there's a way to avoid that in the future, because I'd like to encourage the public as well as myself and everybody else to become involved with the public process as much as possible when there's overlapping meetings with specifically public hearings. I think it was more in error on the city side because they're up against the recall appointments in the timeline, but I'd like to see maybe some dialogue between the two bodies on maybe scheduling the meetings staggered so the public can be a part of both. Another thing I'd like to speak about is the lands and land acquisitions and trading. Specifically, I'm not against the baseball field pursuing the dreams, because I was a baseball player too, and it starts at the young age. But for allocating or potentially setting aside a piece of property or a zoning for an extended amount of time, I understand the motive behind it, but I think within the borough, doing it within the city limits of Palmer, it kind of made a conflict of interest if the city of Palmer or the borough decides later if the Little League didn't want to pursue it and didn't come forward and give the opportunity back through the chambers legally, that it could potentially bring up some legal challenges between the borough and the city because it's within city limits. Lastly, what I'd like to speak about, and this is one of the things that I wanted to be here earlier for, but I couldn't, was the ordinance introduced by Mr. Yunt regarding the discharge of firearms in the borough. I would like to talk to him about it personally, and I will reach out to you because I didn't get to hear the public testimony on that. But I would urge all members of the assembly to just be conscious of the specific word discharge, because I understand, I think, the intent of the ordinance, but it's, from what I can tell, more of a protection of our Second Amendment rights. Now, when you add the word discharge in there, that's a whole different ballgame for me. And that's a life safety item, and I believe jurisdictional bodies should have jurisdictional control and authority in certain situations. And the only reason I say that is, say there's a homeowners association that wanted to vote against it, it shouldn't have to go to a state vote in order to rectify that, or a borough vote to rectify if they don't want firearms discharged within their local communities. And I think when it comes to life and safety, it is the body of the borough to hold us accountable. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Jerry. Anyone else that would like to address the assembly? Caleb, do we have anybody online? No, we do not. So with that, I will go ahead and close the audience participation, and we are at the consent agenda. Does the assembly have any additional items set to be pulled? Okay, go ahead, Madam Clerk.
Resolution 22056, a resolution approving the unincorporated communities for participation in the fiscal year 2023 Community Assistance Program. AM 22043, authorization to renew the New World ERP financial software with Tyler Technologies, covering July 1st, 2022 through June 30th, 2023, in the amount of $103,772.14. AM 22045, award of bid number 22125B to Dirtworks Incorporated in the contract amount of $254,912.50 to improve Lombardo Drive. AM 22049, approval of contract extension for contract number 22058P with Electric Power Systems Incorporated for the Old Glen Phase 2 Real Estate Acquisition Service Project. AM 22050, award of proposal number 22078 PC to Stantec Consulting Services in the contract amount, of $351,256 to design improvements to Cherry Lake Drive, Karen Avenue, and King Arthur Drive. AM 22052, authorization to exercise option period number one to contract 16100P with the City of Wasilla for E911 and dispatch services for an anticipated total five-year cost of $7,536,300. AM 22053, awarded bid number 22133B to Western Construction and Equipment, LLC, in the contract amount of $655,235 to improve South Viking Road, West Arley Road, and West Lost Valley Road. AM 22054, approve of utility relocation by Matanuska Telephone Association in the contract amount $131,672.74. to 4 M's Willer Drive and Sunday Drive Improvements, Project 30042.
I move to adopt the consent agenda as read into the record by the clerk.
Sorry about that. So there was no objection to the motion, and so hearing that, the portion of the consent agenda that was read by the clerk has been approved, and now we have some pulled items.
Resolution 22052, a resolution directing the Planning Department to work with the Planning Commission on possible amendments to the water body setback, which may reduce the setback while still protecting water qualities. This was pulled by Assemblymember McKee.
Okay. She has to move it, right?
Yeah.
So go ahead and move it, and then discuss it.
Move to adopt our resolution 22-052.
Okay. And now discuss why you pulled.
I had a couple things that I wanted to know. What is the necessity for this? How did this arise? Has there been a problem? That was one question. And when these amendments, if there are amendments to these setbacks right now, do they come before the assembly, or do they just go to, you know, the Planning Commission and the folks there? How does that work?
Okay. Staff or...
Sponsored by Mr.
Young. Oh, okay. Go ahead. Assemblyperson Young.
Through the mayor, and Alex, you jump in anytime you want to help out here. So to Mrs. McKee, really what this is there's a few things that I think could be updated, and I would like to see it ran through the gauntlet of the public process. So it will eventually come back to us, but it would need to go to a Planning Commission and all of the other different bodies, and eventually it'll get back to us here, probably in the late fall, early winter sometime, right? Whenever. So could be a little longer, but okay. You know what, right now we have a 75-foot setback, but this is just a few of the things. I'll make it brief, but say you have something, a structure at 40 feet from the lake, right? And it's been there for 50 years. You're allowed to remodel that. Right, for all intents and purposes, you can go in and remodel it. But if there's an old wood crib septic system, right, and you want to put in a nice house, well, then you have to move. Say you want to tear that down, get rid of it, move the house back. Now you got to go back to 75 feet. I don't think that's really fair. So what's happening is people are going and they're remodeling junk, but they're not replacing the septics. They're, you know, technology's changed a lot. We can now provide a much safer, cleaner septic system, right? There's some of the Advantech systems, for example, that when the water comes out, you're supposed to be able to drink it. I don't recommend that. I'm sure it tastes terrible, but, you know, and then structurally, we've had some big earthquakes over the years, and I would like to see these places just rebuilt. And I don't think somebody should be punished if they've had, I'm using 40 foot as an example, then they should be able to do it correctly and not have to remodel existing. So that's maybe one thing. Another one would be that this actually used to be a substantially lower amount. The attorney could speak to that. I think a long time ago, the setback was 30 or 35 feet. Alex would know, but it really doesn't matter what I think. I just think the whole thing needs opened up and let the Planning Department and the Planning Commission and the public comment on the whole thing and come forth with a lot of good ideas, and then we'll see what comes of it. So, like I said, technology's changed, techniques on construction, different things, and it might be worth looking at. So
what you're saying basically is because of and this is probably, I'm just oversimplifying what you said, because I think you said it pretty clearly, but that is basically because things have improved, it's not necessarily keeping back as far as we used to. Is that what you're saying? And then I heard they will probably come back to us. Is that and actually they will come back to us, the amendments?
Through the mayor, to Assemblymember Key, if this gets adopted, it will come to you.
Okay, good. Yes. Thank you.
Well, I was going to say this is just a resolution asking the planning department to work on it, which maybe sort of just aspirational, because I don't know if you remember the budget meeting where we got the presentation from the planning department, but the assembly has from time to time directed the planning department to work on quite a number of things. And while I don't doubt that they will eventually come back, I'm it may not be the people sitting here necessarily, all of us, when it does come back, you know, this is a multi step process, and you know, it can take some time, and they have other projects. So this is really just asking them at some point, please take a look into this. So, you know, if you don't mind sticking one more project on their list, then I don't really see why this would be objectionable.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Mayor. So, in my experience doing land surveying, this whole issue is a big tangled mess, right? Because the setback was different a long time ago, and especially if you go around Big Lake, you'll see, you know, 90% of the structures there are not 75 feet back, and some of them are grandfathered, and some of them are not and are in violation. But the borough doesn't really go out there and enforce that, because if they wanted to enforce it on a this person, then they'd have to enforce it on everybody, and it would turn into a giant litigation nightmare. And I definitely think that you know, maybe some clarification of this muddied issue would be in order for certain. It is definitely a very muddy issue when it comes to, you know, surveying and stuff like that.
Further discussion? Yes, Assemblyperson Yon.
Along the direction of what Jesse was saying, I would ask that we do, mainly because of what Tim spoke to, if we could try to prioritize it a little bit. You guys are swamped, I know that, but if we could please put it through the public process, that'd be great. Thanks.
Assemblyperson too.
I there is a lot of issues out there in Big Lake and all lakes. Is if a person buys a cabin, let's say, and it's 50 feet from the lake, and it's a shack, and he'd like to make it bigger and put another bedroom on it because it's just a little one-bedroom thing, he can't do that because it's within 75 feet from the lake. So as far as septic systems go, they have to be 100 foot from the water body no matter what. So there it is, right? So really it's the structures. And so it would be nice if we would look at this again and see, or if the borough would look at it and make a variance for people to build closer to the lake or improve their properties that are closer to the lake. I think that would be a wonderful thing out there. Since I live in the Big Lake area, there's quite a few people there that have problems. So I'd like to see them relieved.
Further discussion? Okay, is there any objection to the motion to approve resolution 22-052? Okay, hearing none, the legislation has been approved. Go ahead, Madam Clerk.
AM 22-042, awarded bid number 22-148C to True North Emergency Equipment in the contract amount of $1,375,500. not sure if that's $48 or $43, to purchase a heavy rescue vehicle for the Department of Emergency Services. And this was pulled by Assemblymember McKee.
Okay. Go ahead. Assemblyperson.
Okay, I move to adopt AM 22-042.
Okay. Do you want to go ahead and talk to it? Do you want to talk or ask questions?
Did she move it?
Yes, she moved it.
I did, thank you. Yeah. And so we let Mr.
No, you can ask him questions or you can discuss on this with the assembly. Go ahead, sir.
Okay, so some questions I was looking at. We have a rule in my house, you bring one in, you take one out. And that particularly applies to my husband because he's gourmet cook. He's got like 500 cookbooks and they keep coming. So what I was looking at, and I have talked to him, Mr. McKee, about this, there was a gentleman here before who was actually thinking about having a fire sale because there was so much inventory in this particular department and thought that maybe they didn't need all the boats and four-wheelers and snow machines and trucks and all that stuff. And do you have a list, I'm not sure you do, of what you got and how much it actually, what it's worth right now? How long has it been since you used some of the stuff? Is some of these things, are they still like in the box? Haven't been opened and used?
Hey, good evening, Madam Mayor, Assembly, Ken Barkley, Director of Emergency Services. Through the mayor to Assembly Member McKee, all of our equipment is used. A lot of our equipment is over 30 years old. So we're working on a replacement schedule, which we have in the past given that to the assembly. This vehicle is different from that. This is a heavy rescue. This vehicle is going to be different than what we have now. The vehicle that was filling in this position was not equipped for heavy rescue, and I'll explain what that is in a minute. But that vehicle now has been moved over to our hazmat team. So we're responsible for hazmat responses. We didn't have a vehicle that could handle that. Now that particular vehicle is moved over to hazmat. So all of our hazmat response, we have one vehicle that can handle those particular calls. For heavy rescue, we haven't purchased a heavy rescue vehicle since 2010 was the last time we purchased one. That vehicle is in Sutton. Prior to that, it was 2006. The 2006 vehicle is the one I'm talking about now that is used for hazmat. So this vehicle is going to be a little bit different, and I would like to talk a little bit about the windstorm and the earthquake to explain that. So during the windstorm, the Matsu Burro was in good shape because it didn't affect Anchorage. So Anchorage was coming out here with resources if needed. We had some of their staff in our EOC helping us with additional resources that we were requesting. During the earthquake, we weren't going to get any help from Anchorage because they were having the same problems. So we have to become more sufficient or more capable of handling our own emergencies. Right now, we don't have equipment to do that. Trench rescue, if we'd have had structural collapse, confined space, we don't have that for the Matsu Burro. We rely on Anchorage. Anchorage is only going to come out if they're not tied up on another call or available. That's the main purpose for this vehicle. It will be a borough asset used throughout the entire borough in major disasters or if we have a high-angle, low-angle rescue. Last night, we had the airplane crash. The airplane crash was off the inlet. We actually had to use our ladder truck to extend out over the inlet and rappel down and use a Stokes basket to get that individual up to safety. So that's the difference with this vehicle, and that's what it will be used for through the whole borough, is specialized rescue.
Do you ever do that thing, you know, where you go through your closet and say, I really don't need this, this, or this? Is that a thing you guys do, which is evaluate that stuff and say, no, if we actually sell this, we don't need this, we're not using it much?
We do that annually.
Do you?
And we clean house.
Oh, good.
Most of our equipment is trickled down to other departments for different uses.
Okay.
We just did that with a snozzle. That's a extended-looking ladder that sprays water from above. And that was transferred to Talkeetna, which was just used on the structure fire in Willow last week, that snozzle. If it's beyond use or the maintenance cost is too high, then we turn it in.
What does that mean, turn it in?
It goes into purchasing, and then it gets auctioned out, and those proceeds will go back to the service area. If it was a fire service area asset, those proceeds will go back to that. If it's area-wide, then it will go back to area-wide once we're done with the equipment.
All righty, thank you.
Further discussion? Yes. Assemblyperson 2, go ahead.
So is this new truck, is that a ladder truck? Is that what you're telling
this
us?
This is not a ladder truck. This is a rescue truck that will have anchor points on it, winch, and they'll also have an interior area for changing so the crews can go in, change into the gear for that appropriate rescue, and operate from there. And that's something we don't have either, is a changing area. If it's wintertime, they're standing outside and changing clothes for the operation. And this truck will have anchor points on it, mounted on all four corners, and the very front and back with winch capability to hoist somebody from over an embankment type call. It is not going to carry water. It's not a fire truck. It's not a tender. It's strictly a rescue piece of equipment.
Just, I'm curious, anchor points.
So when we rappel down, we need a solid anchor point, not the little tree in the woods to anchor to. So that's, I'm sorry, I should explain that better. But that's what that's for.
Is that D-rings on every corner is basically
correct.
What it is?
Okay. Correct, yes, sir.
And then it's going to have one winch on the truck, or it's going to have four
one
winches?
One winch that can be used front and back. Through the receiver, it can be disconnected and moved to the back. It also has a swing arm for side rappelling as well. So we actually will have every access point to rappel from.
Thank you.
Yes.
Okay. Deputy Mayor?
Does it do anything else, like fly or? I legitimately asked because it does seem actually awful expensive for just a couple of places to hook up for.
So it also has an on-breathing compressor for confined space. This vehicle has gone up 30% since we originally started the project, and we're locked in at this price through Sourcewell, which is through purchasing contract, and they advise us it will be going up in cost. This also includes delivery and sending two people down during the inspection. A pre-inspection and a final inspection is also included in that price.
Further discussion? Yes, Assemblyperson McKee.
Do you have any idea how many of these there are in the state of Alaska?
Through the mayor, Assemblyman McKee, that's a tough question. I'm sorry, for the entire state, I would only be guessing. I can assume that each department may have one, but I do not know that offhand. I do not.
So we might be the only one?
No, I know Anchorage for sure has one. Kenai has one.
How about Fairbanks?
Fairbanks has one. And that's what we're modeling it from, is the ones they have. They've taught us some lessons of do's, don'ts, and what to purchase and where to use cost savings, because we don't want to buy something that's just not going to get used or it doesn't work as advertised.
Do you have any idea of the usage rate of something this expensive? I mean, you're not just going to call.
Through the mayor, Assemblyman McKee, I hate to gauge something on the usage, because if we use something once and it saves a life, then I think it's valuable. And I hate to compare that sometimes, but I can tell you this. Before I took this job, we didn't have many earthquakes, floods, wildland fires, windstorms. I don't know if I'm the jinx, but I think we need to be prepared. And this is part of it. And our residents are going to call 911. They're going to expect a response. And they're going to expect somebody to go over the embankment to rescue them, as we did last night.
So we don't know how many times Anchorage Average has used its machine. Because that's kind of important, I think, to kind of amortize the cost over time.
I can tell you this vehicle will also have auto extrication. That's for your motor vehicle accidents. And we have several hundred of them a year. So I can tell you it'll be used for that. As far as the structural collapse, confined space, and those, I don't have data to rely on. I can just tell you that this will be the only vehicle with equipment that we will have to respond to those type of calls. If we don't have it, we will not be responding, and we will rely on Anchorage as the closest city that can help us.
How long would it take you to get from from here where it's going to be located to, I don't know, 100 miles out somewhere? Like, I'm thinking that would be an emergency situation, obviously. Maybe I'm asking questions that don't really have answers, but how long does it take you to get 100 miles out to think like?
We have lights and sirens. we can go faster. No, I that's a tough answer. I mean, there's a lot of variables with
yeah.
that. I wintertime, obviously, it's going to take us a little bit longer. But I'd rather be going and get there than not having equipment and just saying, sorry, can't help you.
Okay, thank you.
Brendan. Assemblyperson Yount and then Deputy Mayor.
Yeah, I just wanted to confirm. So
I'm sorry.
I think I know the answer, but this money's coming out of the FSA, right?
That's correct.
And it's through your guys' money that you collect, and it, yeah. So I just wanted to help clarify that for anybody that may not understand. It comes out of the money collected for fire service, and I know the rescue that you guys did last night was not your typical, but it's also not like these things don't happen from time to time. Last night was pretty awesome, actually, what happened. Not to the people that had the issue, but the fact that we were able to respond. So, I think it's a good idea. The other thing is if we use our commas correctly, this is $13 million, not $1,300,000. So there's an extra number in here, and we might want to edit that out. That's all I got. It's not really $13 million, but there should be three numbers at the end and not four if you work with thousands and hundreds. Anyway, so it's okay. I just wanted to point that out. Because if I move the comma and fix it, yeah. If I move the comma and fix it, we're at 13 million, and I thought Miss McKee might have a heart attack, so.
Deputy Mayor.
So I guess I just want to be clear on what this thing does. So it's got a winch, so like you could winch a vehicle that goes off of like a cliff or something up, and then it's got points to anchor to repel. And space inside to change, is that?
Through the mayor, Sumner, I wouldn't say we would winch a vehicle up like over the cliff. We wouldn't be doing that. It would be more for rappelling, stabilizing, or if it's a structural collapse, we would be moving beams, et cetera, off of people if need be.
I guess I'm having a hard time picturing that as like a boom truck, or?
No, it would not be compared to a boom truck. The winch can have several uses. We've had to pull cars apart to help get people out with them. We've used it several times for that in the past, our winches. We do not use it as a lifeline, meaning that's the rope. That's what we use rope for. So there's just, sometimes we've had people trapped under like a metal embracement that's fallen on them, and we've had to use a winch to get them out from that as well. And an anchor point. We can use the winch to anchor to something else and then use that to secure the vehicle that we're working with to rappel down.
So do we have any vehicles that have winches on them right now?
We do. I don't know the number. I'd say about eight of our vehicles, to include three of our command rigs, do have winches, but not at a 20 ton winch is what this one would have, not the smaller 4,500 pound winches. Okay. This will be a extremely large winch. And then the air compressor on there, that will provide breathing air that can be used on a structure fire or a confined space situation is what the compressed air is for.
Assemblyperson Hale.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Mayor. I just like to point out this is an award of bid, which basically means that we appropriated this money in a budget at some point. I don't know which budget. Maybe it was fiscal year 22, but this is an award of bid. So this money has been appropriated already by us. So that's all.
Further discussion. Yes, Assemblyperson McKee.
And you may have already covered this. We had one that's referred to as previously relocated. We sent it away, and we don't currently have anything in its place.
Through the mayor, Senator McKee, we did. We had one vehicle that was acting in this position, but it did not have the interior space in it or the other capabilities. But it is a heavy rescue that Central Fire Department has now it's moved to our hazmat team. So it's actually located in Big Lake now at the fire station there. So no department has a vehicle like this. This will be the first one that will help if we have an emergency throughout the borough. So
when you were talking about structural collapses before, and that this wouldn't, you know, like lift a car off a cliff, but if there were beams and things, did the one that we let go, did that do that? I mean, have we ever been involved in something like that before with those, the other one?
No, we have not. We did not use it for that. We were not trained in that to do structural collapse. That's a specialized skill that we are going to school to get that training now.
Would those, would that other machine have done that if you had the training?
It didn't have the equipment on it.
I see, okay.
It had a winch, but it didn't have all the other supports and lumber that comes with that, that this truck will carry for structural collapse.
Okay, thanks.
Further discussion? Is there any objection to the motion? Okay, seeing none, then the legislation passes. Madam Clerk.
AM 22051, award a bid number 22012B to Tutka LLC in the contract amount of $1,120,590 for Port McKenzie earthquake repairs, pulled by Assemblymember McKee.
Okay, go ahead, Assemblyperson McKee.
I move to adopt AM 22.
Turn your mic on, please.
Oh, sorry.
Thank you.
I move to adopt AM 22-051.
Okay. You have questions or comments?
I did have a question because, again, that's a huge sum of money. And as Mr. Hale said before, it's obviously been awarded. Is that part of any other package? Is this a standalone project?
Terry Dolan, Director of Public Works. Through the mayor, this is a FEMA-funded earthquake repair project. It's the big cost center are associated with repair of the riprap that subsided out there. And then there was also a couple of high mast lights that were damaged and a couple that are leaning from the earthquake. So those are the real big cost items. There's a bunch of other small items in there as well.
Okay. I must say that at first I looked at this and I thought, geez, more money down the rat hole. But because I'm seeing movement in purpose of that area, I'm okay with that.
Further discussion? Any objections to the motion? Seeing no objection, the motion, the legislation is adopted. We have no on, because that's all we have, right, Madam Clerk?
Mm-hmm.
We have no unfinished business. We have no vetoes. We're ready for introductions, please.
Introduction for public hearing on June 7th is Ordinance 22032, with accompanying Ordinance 22033, Ordinance 22034, with accompanying Ordinance 22035, Ordinance 22064, with accompanying Resolution 22053, Ordinance 22065, with accompanying Resolution 22054, Ordinance 22066, with accompanying Resolution 22055, Ordinance 22067 with accompanying Resolution 22057, Ordinance 2270, and for introduction for public hearing on June 21st, Ordinance 22038.
Deputy Mayor.
I move to introduce the legislation as read into the record by the clerk and set the public hearing for June 7th, 2022 and June 21st, 2022, respectively.
Is there a discussion on any of the proposed legislation and the setting of the public hearing dates? Is there any objection? Hearing none, the legislation is introduced. Deputy Mayor?
I move to confirm the mayor's recommendations as follows. Port Commission, resignation of Timothy Anderson.
Discussion? Any objection? Hearing none, the agency vacancy report is approved. Other business, we do not at this time have any referrals. There are no reconsiderations that I'm aware of. And so now we're ready for mayor, assembly, and staff comments. And we don't need an executive session, right, Mr. Attorney?
Okay.
Excuse me. So, Assemblyperson Ron Barrier, are you still on the phone? Would you have parting comments, sir?
Everyone have a good night. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, sir. Assemblyperson Hale, do you have parting comments, sir?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'll be real quick. I just wanted to say that Butte Community Council had their cleanup last weekend, and we pulled out an entire 20-foot-long dumpster from our neighborhood and disposed of it. And I just wanted to thank the manager and the administration for continuing their commitment to the community cleanups. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Assemblyperson McKee, comments? No? Okay. Assemblyperson Yon, parting comments, sir?
Yeah, I'll be helping heading up a cleanup in Willowaw subdivision in my district this weekend, and I want to thank you guys again for the support on that in the past. Other than that, it was a great evening. It was relatively easy evening compared to the last 6 weeks or so. So we might actually get to bed on time, and we didn't fill the room. So I think it was a pretty good night.
Deputy Mayor, parting comments?
No comment. Thank you.
Okay. Assemblyperson 2, parting comments?
No comments.
Okay. Madam Clerk, comments? Mr. Manager, comments?
I'll be very brief because I recognize it's short, but I do want to clarify, Mr. Smolden did send an update from OMB. The MSB road money for the $30 million, it does have a contingency match that's in the state budget. That is UGF, so it's not CBR, SBR tethered. It's still in. It survived. So we'll see where that lands when it's all said and done, but I think that's good news for Matt Sue, and we'll keep track of that. I will just put it on the record. I will ask the planning department to move forward with the essential utilities repeal. So, I mean, we didn't do a resolution. The assembly didn't take action. If there's an objection, you might want to consider that, but I'm going to ask them to take a look at that and bring something back to the assembly. And then as far as timelines for things like that, what I would call assembly directed work, maybe when you're considering those resolutions or something, maybe kind of put your expectations for timing on it, and we'll tell you if we don't think we can get there. Like, that might help just in managing expectations, and then Alex can come to the table and go, yeah, I can accommodate that, or that's really going to be difficult. So that might be something moving forward that just kind of helps keep expectations realistic. And then lastly, because I think the meeting schedule is just going to be what it is, we have the joint meeting next week and then the budget, but I wanted to at least take a moment and recognize Terry Dolan. As I sent out an announcement, he's going to be leaving. He's taking a job in greener pastures, if you will, but I at least wanted to acknowledge him in front of the assembly. So because I think we meet again on June 7th, and his last day will be June 3rd. So I did want to take a moment and thank Terry for his service. He's worked for the borough and served this community well for almost 9 years, I think. So I did at least want to take the opportunity to recognize him in front of the assembly on record tonight before he gets away from us. And then we're kind of looking back and saying, oh, we missed that. He's got some opportunities with his department between now and then, and we'll do something here internal to the borough, but just wanted to call that out for the assembly and thank him for his service. That is all. That's all, Madam Mayor.
Okay. Anything else? Anybody get overlooked or anything? With that, I will adjourn the meeting at
34:35.
I don't care. I'm not going to argue
34.
Over. Okay.
I read an article for a minute about how time is impacted. You can have 6 o'clock, it's all set exactly the same.